I'll call the meeting to order. The adoption or amend the agenda. Anything, Karen? Anything?
Two things.
Okay.
We'd like to amend the agenda to include the action items from the personnel committee.
Okay.
You can either do those under committee reports or as new business. Either would be
What's
okay.
What's your wishes under committee reports?
Sure. We'd also like to move 12.3 labor negotiations discussion up to follow the public open forum based on the availability of our legal counsel.
When did you want that to be?
Right after the open forum, probably, given the number of people that
What
are
was
here.
That again? Would you repeat?
12.3.
Yep.
Right after the open forum. We'll move into closed session after the open forum.
Okay. With them additions, I'm looking for a motion.
Mr. Chair, I'll move approval.
Mr. Chair. Go ahead, Mary. Did you have something or you just move?
I was trying to. Did you beat me? I didn't second.
Okay. Motion by Lisa, seconded by Mary. Any other discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. Finance Committee, they were sent to you. Is there any additions, corrections, or anything that needs to go on there? Any questions?
So are we at 3.1, the board meeting?
Oh.
Minutes?
The board meeting,
board meeting minutes. Sorry about that. Yeah. Board meeting minutes request. That needs an action. Needs a motion to accept. Mary?
Second.
And seconded by Tina. Any additions, corrections, or anything to that? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. Now we can go to the Finance Committee meeting.
Minutes.
That was from last month, I take it?
Yes.
Anybody have anything to go with that? Looking for a motion?
So moved.
Tina moved.
Second.
Seconded by Jane. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. Open forum.
You want me to grab that, Patty?
So as you know, some of you have been here before, open forum is 2 minutes with a maximum of 10. And if you're going to repeat something that maybe was said in previous meetings, I guess I would like to hear a few other people speak. If you've spoken before, that would be, you know, give us more of a clear-cut deal. If the same people come first and sign up and we take them in order, some of these people get to speak at every meeting and some of the other ones don't get to speak. So if that's your wishes, then you would let someone else speak. So be it, otherwise we'll call them in order. So the first one on there is Pete Wilson.
Mr. Wilson, the microphone is
I'm sorry, what?
The microphone. The microphone is on this side.
And we don't bring hearing aids.
We're going to have to put down little pieces of bread.
You don't need a hearing aid. For several
reasons.
Is
the mic on, Patty? Okay.
I think I can talk loud enough anyway.
You want a
30-second
we need the signal?
Oh.
30 seconds?
Yes.
Oh, happily.
Okay.
Is it on?
Yep.
Oh, yeah, you're on.
You're on.
And I'll signal you 30 seconds before the 2 minutes are up. Okay?
Would you rather have it out? Or
that doesn't matter.
Good evening. My name is Peter Wilson. I live at 1108 Celebration Drive, Sartell, Minnesota. I've been here for a couple reasons. One is for this. And the issue with the pornography at the in the libraries, it doesn't belong. I mean, there's areas where it might. I think what we have to look at is why something exists and whether it's organic or not. There's very little that we see in our environments, especially in education, in information, or in school systems throughout this process that is organic. Most of it is driven, as an example, by cell, by the United Nations, globalist agendas, and anti-American things. I'm hoping as we move forward that additional books are also available, not just the nasty books are removed, but books such as Transnation, the new book that's out here, and some of the books regarding the gay community and some of the manipulation of children's minds. Let them read reality. Most of the things that go on don't just happen in a room like this amongst perhaps intelligent people like yourselves. And this is now what's going to happen around the nation. What occurs is these things are manipulated, altered. Anyone who looks at anything from a true document would tend to see that. And that's why I'm speaking. I'm asking you to look at the American Library Association. People are pulling out of it. And there's a number of other organizations that are represented here. I'm wanting to see more appropriate books, giving people a different view than give them, well, let's use the word diversity. I hate to use it, but I'm going to use it because it doesn't exist well. When I ordered the book by Liz Collins, Is They're Lying to You, or whatever it was, I happen to have a copy. I just wanted to find out how long it would take. Thank you.
Thank you. Sandy Klockner.
We have talked about the American Library Association before. Emily Drabinski is now the president of the American Library Association, who describes herself as a Marxist lesbian. In an NBC News article, August 7, 2023, she's quoted, "I just can't believe that a Marxist lesbian who believes that collective power is possible to build and can be wielded for a better world is the president-elect of the ALA." At the Socialism Conference in September, beginning of September, just a couple weeks ago, at the 2023 conference, this president asked attendees to turn schools and libraries into centers of racial agitation. The conference, organized by more than 70 socialist organizations, she told the speakers at one panel that she agreed with your point that public education needs to be a site of socialist organizing. I think libraries really do too. She added, there's a real opportunity here for both connect what the public's education with what's happening in libraries. Quote, we need to be on the agenda of socialist organizing. Sometimes we don't believe what I send to you. You don't believe what I say. So this is her. I'm sorry, it's not a very good recording, but I'm going to play her at this conference. On the agenda of social organization. Are we a library or are we a social organization? Please do what's right for the community and get out of the ALA. Thank you.
Thank you. Mary Starry, or Margaret, I'm sorry.
Thank you for allowing me to speak tonight. My name is Margaret Starry. Newsflash, pornography hurts children. It should go without saying, but I will say it. In a civilized society, protecting children must be every adult's number one priority. Even most animal species understand this simple concept. As a society, we are inundated with images and messages that are sexualizing minors and children at younger and younger ages. That portray sexual exploitation and sexual violence as normal, that depict children as an object, primarily for someone else's use, promoting trafficking and slavery. that targets any and all opposing views as discrimination and aggression, purposely ignoring that the concern is for children only. This tactic is deceptively used to increase tension and divide those who sincerely want an outcome for healthy, productive, and well-adjusted children. These messages also create the perception that a child's self-worth is tied to his or her sexuality. They degrade a child's emotional and mental well-being. Here's an example. In January 1989, serial killer Ted Bundy gave an interview to Dr. Dobson just 17 hours before he was executed. And this is what he said. My experience with pornography that deals on a violent level with sexuality is that once you become addicted to it, and I look at this as a kind of addiction, like other addictions, I would keep looking for more potent, more explicit, more graphic kinds of materials. Like an addiction, you keep craving something which is harder, harder, something which gives you a greater sense of excitement until you reach the point where the pornography only goes so far. You reach that jumping off point where you begin to wonder if maybe actually doing it will give you that which is beyond just reading about it. Thank you.
Thanks. Lori Molds.
What was it, Ed? What was the name?
Lori Molds.
I'm going to hear.
Okay.
Lori
from St. Clair. I'm not here to necessarily ban writing, printing, selling, or library books. These are freedoms. I support freedoms. I am here to implore that the library decision makers listen to the tax-paying constituents who fund this library. With freedom comes responsibility and hopefully common sense. Just because you can do something doesn't mean you should. Would you give a big chunk of steak to a six-month-old baby? No, it's irresponsible, harmful. I'm going to tell you about a real event, and it is a real event. It happened between a 9-year-old and an 11-year-old girl, both girls. Friends for over 5 years, 9. Follower, smaller, more timid. 11, leader, bossy, bigger physically. Loud, forceful, playing as usual. 9-year-old's room and her small walk-in closet. Mom downstairs making supper. 11, let's play doctor. They had done this before. Check your mouth, check your ear, check your heart. No big deal. That day it was different, not innocent. 11 had a book, and she wanted to try it out. So,
30 seconds.
She told 9 to lay down on the floor, pushed her hand very hard above the vagina, trying to, because it's supposed to be fun, shoved her fingers in the 9-year-old's vagina, because it's supposed to be fun, shoved her fingers in the 9-year-old's anus, supposed to be fun, it's in the book. The 9-year-old is screaming, protesting, trying to get out of there. It didn't work. She ended up with physical wounds on her arm because the 11-year-old grabbed her and was trying to shove her fingers up the other one's vagina.
Okay, that's, we passed the third.
Because of her book. So I implore you, children need to be able to understand and have some context and an adult to help them with that. You don't just give a baby steak, and you don't just give a child something they can't handle responsibly.
Deb McCarl.
I'm Dr. Deb McCarl. I was an OBGYN in this community until I retired about 10 years ago. So who knows, I may have delivered a bunch of kids, for all I know. My mother was a very avid reader, and she taught me to love reading. She viewed the library as an enormous resource where you could find anything that you needed to find. My aunt was a librarian, and so you can imagine support of libraries was very strong in my family. And my concern about trying to censor our libraries is that often the censorship is aimed at minority people, people who need the information that the library is there for the community to provide. I don't know about the American Library Association. I believe my aunt was a part of that, actually. But I imagine there are as many viewpoints in the American Library Association as there are librarians in it. And I don't think that singling it out for condemnation makes much sense. As far as the experience of children in our library, I would hope that the parents are involved in helping their children select appropriate books. That's the role of parents in the library. But I feel very strongly that our community library needs to be a resource for all the people in our community. We all live here, we all pay taxes here, and we all want the resources here. So some of the books that minorities like might not appeal to this group of people. That should be okay. They should be able to read what they want to read and allow other people to read what they are interested in reading.
All right. Thank you.
Yeah. And thank you to the library. I've used it so much over the years. I really appreciate it.
Hey, there was three other people on the list that we won't get to, so. Did you have something to say?
We have an attorney waiting. Okay.
Okay. We have a closed session for attorney client privileges, so I thank you. And
so this is on the record, and then we'll split the recording after the motion. So
okay.
Go ahead and read that first.
The state recording specific guides for permitting the deal. Closed meetings for employee performance review.
No. Nope. The blue one.
The blue one. Okay, thank you. State on the record specific grounds permitting closure and describe subjects to be discussed. Closed meetings for labor negotiations to strategically pursue in Minnesota Statute 13D.03. Motion and second and majority vote to close the meeting. So we need a motion and a second. Motion by Tina. Seconded by...
Skip them all to them.
Okay. Seconded by Mary. We don't need to announce the time and place. It's taking place at this time.
So it's 6:24,
yeah.
And we're
take a vote,
at the St. Cloud Public Library, Mississippi Room.
All right. And we not a vote on that. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. We're going to reopen the closed session at 6:56.
You can stay up here, Ryan.
I'll need a motion and a second on that.
Yes.
Make a motion to reopen
on table.
1 second.
Library board meeting.
Or not the closed session. I said closed session is library board.
Okay.
Mary, second?
Yeah.
All right. We got a motion and a second to reopen the regular meeting. Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
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 Carried. So that,
who made the motion on that one? I guess I didn't have
Al reason. Made the motion.
Okay,
Wayne,
and,
got it.
And Wayne seconded. So we'll move on to 5.1. Do you want to do 5.1, 5.2?
Yeah.
Now, and
unless
5.3,
anyone has any questions.
All together. So otherwise, I'll entertain a motion for those three. Unless you have any questions and want them split.
Move approval.
Mary moves 5.1, 5.2, and 5.3.
I'll second it.
Tina, thank you. Any discussion? Anything? Hearing none, I'll call the question. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. Consent agenda. We need an action on that for 6-1. It's in your pamphlet. So do I hear a motion?
You can do that as one.
What?
Do the whole thing?
Yeah, we'll do the whole thing for 6.1 through 6.5.
I make a motion to approve items 6.1 through 6.5.
I'll second.
Mary second. Lisa made the motion. Any discussion or any questions? Anybody want to discuss any of those items?
What's under other? Did we have any other? That's
no.
Just a catch-all.
So okay. Catch-all and see in case you had something, Lee.
Oh, hell no.
Okay. We got a motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
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 Opposed? Carried.
Oh, I do have one thing. For the all-staff day library closure request, the date is wrong. It says October 14th. I think it's October 9th.
The request is for 2024, unless I got the year wrong, too.
No.
Okay.
Thanks for looking
at it.
Yeah. Okay. That's for next year. This year
good?
Is October 9th. Yep.
Okay, so we don't need to go back.
Hooray. So we're good.
Did we vote on this now, or didn't we?
We did.
We did? Okay. Carried. Communications?
We didn't get our grant. I'm really disappointed. I'll find out why.
when they do a...
they haven't announced the awards
They haven't announced. Do they do a briefing or a debriefing?
You can ask for the feedback that the grant reviewers did on your grant. So that's what
we did one through the county, and it seemed like it was pretty beneficial to ask for a debriefing. It kind of tells you what you could do next time and what you know.
Yeah, I suspect they wanted something that was a little more program focused. If you remember, we were doing the focus groups to gather input, and I suspect they were looking more for, and it could have been they just had a lot of applications. I don't know.
Okay. And nothing under other, right?
Nope. So we're up to Jonathan.
Up to 8, Great River Regional Library public website.
Yep. So this is one of our goals is to have a diversity, equity, and inclusion presentation from staff on a quarterly basis to the board. And one of the projects this year that we did under that umbrella is updates to our public website to make it more accessible. Jonathan is the web developer that we have in IT. We're very fortunate to have him. He's also a member of the Labor Management Committee and the Fund Development Committee, so he's a very active staff member. So thanks, Jonathan. I think I'll let him take it away. So.
Thank you. So today, I'm primarily going to talk about the website and the accessibility around it. Can everyone hear me all right?
No.
Mm-mm. Hit the lights.
Can we turn the light off?
Number 5, I think. Yeah. Here, I'll do it. Oh. And the microphone might need to be a little bit closer to you.
Can you hear me now?
Yep.
All right, perfect.
All set.
All right, so starting back in August of 2022 is when we finished with the new website design. As you can see, we've made a wide variety of changes. If you remember the old site, we went through a lot of different renditions and ideas when looking at both what we wanted from patron feedback as well as changes in how we want to approach it based on the strategic plan. So the strategic plan for 2022 to 2025 in relation to the diversity, equity, and inclusion, was to fulfill the main goal of increasing the maximizing accessibility for digital tools and the website. So we were able to achieve, I believe, many of the same goals within that same objective through this change. So Bernadette, our web designer and graphic designer at Great River Regional Library, she was very helpful in making sure that we were able to come up with a new design that's both familiar in terms of a modern format, something that people are very familiar with in terms of seeing other websites around the world, as well as something that is uniquely ours. One of the concepts we look at in particular from a design aspect, is making sure that things are visible. But that's not all that accessibility is. So we also need to be looking at things that are more auditory in nature. So, for example, a screen reader, which is something that would orate where you are on a screen. I don't have anything to demonstrate that today, as many of those tools are usually either paid, but there are some free tools available that users have used in the past when interacting with any type of website. So screen readers are usually used for people who have visual impairments or have difficulty seeing. We also have things such as keyboard navigation, so individuals who might have difficulty with motor skills, whether that's using a mouse or other types of ability, or that limits their ability to use a mouse, using keyboard navigation is going to be important when navigating a website from an accessibility standpoint. With the new layout, much of this is primarily both keyboard accessible and screen reader accessible, and we also have some good examples, for example, going right to the main content. So when we see here, this is kind of like the starting of what we want people to see on the website. Some big features of that would be our locations and hours section, where we used to have just a single button, and then you could go and navigate all the different options that we have. Now we have a drop-down option, which, so now if you know which branch you want to go to, you can go right to it, and you can get right to the page that you would like to get to and learn more about whether it's hours or news or updates from your own individual branch. From an accessibility standpoint, for just patron usage, that was something that was really beneficial. Another portion is how we change the searching for the website. Before, we had two search bars, one for catalog and one for website. And oftentimes we'd run into the issue that an individual would be searching something on the website, but they were really looking in the catalog, and vice versa. So having the option to be able to toggle between the website and the catalog has been, I believe, a great tool to make that a more easy, more normal-looking choice for an individual who's maybe first time coming here. And oftentimes, the catalog is the place to go when they want to look for books. And then the last section that I just kind of want to highlight in terms of what we've designed differently, and I like to call it more of a quick links section. So here on the right side, to the left of our little carousel here, here is these quick links. So we have like databases, ebooks, events. These are all based on Google Analytics software that we use to check people's we don't know individuals' information, but we know where they're moving along the website. And so this helped us curate an idea of what they would be looking for, whether that's suggesting a title, printing from home, like print to go is another feature we often highlight, as well as the new and renewals for card applications. So to look more closely at beyond the visual accessibility, I also want to highlight some of the other things that we do. So one of the big ones that we do is this main content, so skip to main content. In order to do that, usually it won't be something you can visually see. But if you use keyboard navigation, it's something you'd use quite often. And to demonstrate, when I click the tab button, I'm going to first refresh the page, just in case we have a hiccup, but we shouldn't. When you hit the tab button, you'll see a skip to main content section. Although it's visually visible here, usually it's not. And I wanted to make sure that we had that ability, not only for the keyboard user that may have some visibility in terms of seeing what they're selecting, but also be able to have just something that stands out. And then by simply clicking enter, you jump right down to the library news. This is the most blatant example of how it shifts it down to just go to the main content. It's a little bit different with other pages because we already jump right to the content already. So it's usually just a slight shift. This one's a little more noticeable, and that's why I wanted to demonstrate it today. For a keyboard user, it would be very noticeable for them as it would go right to the content that they are expecting when they go to that page. Some other elements that we increased in terms of our accessibility from a visual standpoint was we increased the font size. Before, we had, on average, 12-point font, which is not unfamiliar to a lot of people who have used like Word documents, but it is definitely not the most visually easy thing to have, especially when things are pushed together and clumped up and we have a lot of content. So taking time to increase the size of both the font and improve our color contrast has been great for allowing people who might have difficulties either reading or seeing to be able to clearly identify information on the website. Another thing we also included to all images is we required text description, also known as alt or alternate tags. And what that does is it allows a person who is either visually impaired to be able to know what they are seeing on the screen. So, for example, if an individual with a visual impairment would go and maybe either keyboard around the screen and they would reach an image. Instead of, because they can't see the image, they what they can see is the text, and it would read out the text for them using their accessibility equipment. So that's been really helpful for individuals who be able to not be able to see anything and be able to visually, or not visually, but mentally understand where they are in space. And then we've also improved the structure. So for, I mentioned briefly the keyboard navigation is something that we've improved, and everything is keyboard navigating, and it's working pretty well on most pages. But one area that we do know we want to look into improvement is the carousel, and that is a known difficult area for most websites that have one, and that's this portion right here where you can select through. It works with keyboards, but it doesn't work as well as we'd like it to work, and that's something that we're trying to improve, as well as the navigation on mobile. That's another area we're looking to improve from an accessibility standpoint. And when I mention improve, oftentimes accessibility is going to be a long-running, constantly evolving process. So what worked 5 years ago might not work today, and that will probably be the same in the future. So we're always looking at the standards that are out there for the web content accessibility and trying to see where we can improve as well as future-proof it so that we don't have to go through and rewrite everything, and we can make it a very simple process for not only our IT group but for everyone else who is using the website. So that's kind of the overall look at the general elements of the accessibility. I don't mind if you guys have any other questions about any particular pieces of accessibility or if you have any information you want to learn, but this is just kind of a simple, basic look at our website from an accessibility standpoint, and keep in mind that everyone uses websites differently, so if there's something I didn't mention here today, feel free to ask me. So any questions?
Yeah, just one quick one. Language, Spanish, or I realize you can't have everything under the sun, but is there anything that others can access in their own language?
Yes. So there are certain pages that we've dedicated to certain content that they can access multiple languages, such as Spanish, Somali as the primary two, and then I believe in German is another one, but it's more secondary than the other two. We're also working on adding a feature to allow it to translate the website into different languages. The only difficulty right now that's holding it up is making sure that we're not, by implementing it, not hurting our potential with the accessibility. And so that's something we're still testing to make sure that there isn't any huge conflicts. And that is something we're actively are working at and trying to improve. And there might be a few different routes that we could take to make that work, but that is hopefully on the horizon soon.
Mary?
Could you click on the print from home?
Yes.
Please.
So are you going to mention something about the accessibility tool here?
I'm sorry.
Are you going to mention something about the accessibility tool here?
I didn't even know you could do that.
Yep, so here, there's a separate service. So this is a separate service that we don't run. We have a vendor had this set up. So that's why you'll see a select language option. That's why you'll see a separate accessibility menu that is embedded into the system. That's something that's not as easy to embed on our current website, as this one was built with that in mind, and we are doing a different structure than what this website was built with. So these are things we are looking at on how to maybe add something like this, but right now I have been focusing on just simply getting in as much of these accessibility tools implemented into the structure so that there won't be as much of a need for a separate tool.
So you still have to pay with a credit card or something, right?
For this?
Yeah.
We don't take credit cards for that now.
We don't take credit cards, yeah.
The only thing we take credit cards for are fees that are actually on, like, a library account related to the catalog, because that's a separate vendor, and they have their own credit card interface that doesn't require us to have PCI compliance standards at the level. So,
but it says cost per page.
Yep, we take cash.
Yeah, you drop your file in there, set up a password, pick your branch, drive to that branch, enter the password, it spits it out, you're in and out in like 2 minutes. So you're sending the print job from home, you see what I mean? But then you're going to the library and picking it up.
Okay, I get it.
Yeah.
So you really can't print from home.
Yeah, the revenue from this has increased so much because we launched this in like 2019, right before the shutdown, that it actually offsets some of the lost revenue from the Going Fines Free. This is a growing service because people can print from their phone.
And then you just drive to the branch and pick up your package.
Yeah, it's pretty slick.
You put your password into it and then it'll print.
Are there any other questions in relation to the website or accessibility?
Thank you.
All right. Well, that's all I have for today on the website. If you do have any other questions, feel free to maybe leave a note here today, and yeah, I'll have it passed along to me. So thank you.
Well done.
Thanks.
Thank you.
One of the shorter meetings we have in the future, we could probably dial up Acorn TV and watch it.
Okay, then we'll move on to staff reports.
In the interest of time, I just wanted to share one update on I don't even know what file I stuck that in now. So as you're leaving tonight, you'll notice the parking lot is not very bright. We've been working with the city of St. Cloud to try to get the lights fixed, but they're 14-year-old lights. And so just this week, the city replaced the four fixtures in the awning over the public entrance, and they have ordered replacement fixtures for some of the parking lot lights, but they're about 4 weeks out because they're all the same age. They're, like, one by one going dim. So Ryan worked today to buy some high-powered flashlights for our staff out of that security budget we have, but just know that we are aware this is an issue. It's not something that we can fix directly, and the city knows that it's an issue, but because it's lighting, it's a lot harder to fix here than it is most places, because this system wasn't built with long-term in mind. So,
do you mind if I ask who they have working on it?
I don't have that information. I know Public Works has some lighting specialists on staff, so I think they're the ones who... They have a whole lighting lab over in Public Works building. It's pretty interesting.
Wow. You're looking for a...
No, but Lee has a really good buddy. Their company does a really good job of fixing them.
Well, and I'm not 100%, but I think it's not just the fixtures themselves. Some of it has to do with the lighting panels in the building, which is that bigger issue of them retrofitting this whole building. And I know they're working on it, but... It's slow going, so you may hear complaints at some point as the days get shorter.
Anything on the management report?
Summer reading program rocked, especially in St. Michael. I'd be remiss in not pointing that out. They beat everybody by a little bit, even St. Cloud. So St. Michael's a rocket ship. Look out.
Building report?
No, I guess that was kind of a building report. Howard Lake's still going up. Definitely drive by if you get a chance. Quick.
I was trying to think. Somebody mentioned something to me about Howard Lake, but I don't know who it was. Maybe when we were in Alexandria, somebody said something.
It's a net zero building.
Net zero,
I don't know. They talked about it anyway. I heard it.
Yeah.
I think the cows are getting to you.
We did the summer reading statistics. Anything else?
No.
Okay. Committee reports, is this where we want to do the personnel?
Yep. Everyone have their personnel stuff?
Yeah, so had we had a personnel committee meeting, the first item would have been the a few more position descriptions in the communications and development department. It was previously four positions in that department, and they are now down to three as of 2019 when the last communications and development specialist left. And so these updated positions kind of, you know, they update and reflect the current responsibilities with each position, but also the extent that they could be absorbed, the duties from that non-existent position. And then they, too, have been added into that template that the positions are all moving toward, which started back in the summer of 2021 or 22 with the federal grant to change the language, make them more concise, more accessible, and just a little more reflective of the library itself. And the one position, this is, to me, it's a technical distinction, but the one, the communications and development assistant will say edits and proofreads marketing materials and copy when the final version is posted. The word copy was omitted.
Okay. Want to do these individually or all as a group?
I don't care, it's up to the group here.
Collectively.
Group.
The group.
Do you want them to keep going?
Yep.
Keep going.
With the other stuff?
Yeah, they're going to do it all in one fell swoop.
That's, I like the style. Okay. So mileage, as you heard a little bit about, the old mileage policy was pretty convoluted. It kind of blended process and policy, which did make it a choose-your-own-adventure. If you wanted to find an answer, you could probably find it. Some staff got mileage sometimes. Other staff got mileage other times. It depended if you were regular, if you were substitute, and what you were doing. So, again, the work of the Labor Management Committee is an effort to simplify, kind of treat everybody the same. And like Karen said, too, it knocked down the 20-mile radius down to 15 miles, maybe incentivize it a little bit for people to pick up sub shifts. As we kind of anticipate, you know, maybe the hiring cycle remains tight. We do appreciate when people step up and work in other branches and make it easier for them to do so. So this is a cleaned up version of the mileage policy, which is more generous as well.
Mary has a question.
Yes.
So, and we're talking about mileage in terms of labor negotiations also.
Yeah.
So why are we doing this now?
Because this policy change will apply to all staff who are not represented by a union.
Oh,
and so, like, in the branches, there is a manager, and that's the library services coordinator position, and they're members of AFSCME. But then they have assistants and aides working in those branches, and they are not union represented. So this policy change, if it passes, will go into effect in January and will apply regardless of union negotiations to those staff.
Okay. Just for reference, we have about 240 staff, and between the two units, we have about 80 union staff members. So the vast majority of staff are non-union.
And then finally, the drug and alcohol testing policy is updated to reflect the legalization of cannabis and to kind of call it out separately and the process for addressing that as well. Because it was previously it was alcohol or illegal drugs, but now it is alcohol, illegal drugs, and cannabis. So it stands alone.
Okay, you heard the...
Oh, that's just housekeeping.
Yeah, after the legal change, so...
Include the minutes as well.
Okay, yeah, we need to include the minutes in this. So we're asking you for approval on number three, the minutes, communication and development position, revised the automobile usage, which is the mileage, and then the drug and alcohol testing. So can I have a motion?
I'll make a motion to accept the minutes and all three policies.
All right.
Updates.
And I will second that motion.
Mary will second it. Any other discussion? Hearing none, I'll call the question. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Carried. Thank you, people.
There is not here.
So fund development will have nothing then?
Well, boy, who was here? We have new members to the fund development committee.
Okay.
Connie Crane is joining on behalf of the Reading Room Society, as is Pat Hontos. Both of them have been longtime library advocates in addition to being members of the Reading Room Society. Pat's currently on the St. Cloud Library Board. Connie was formerly on the Great River Library Board, and I believe they were both involved with the capital campaign for this building. So they'll be great additions to the committee. We also have Joanne Cadrona, who has agreed to join the committee. She wasn't able to make the last meeting, but she is also somebody who has formerly served on the Great River Board. I think St. Cloud Friends is a major donor and has a career with Granite Equity Partners and associations with the Community Foundation. So we're really excited to add them to the committee. We're continuing to look to grow the committee, so if you know of other people who might be interested, we're happy to add them. And your end campaign will be kicking off. You'll be hearing about that soon. We'll have a presentation at the November board about the year-end campaign and planned giving from Brianne.
Okay. Thanks, Jane.
Central Minnesota Library Exchange.
Oh, you skipped one.
Oh, collection Development Committee.
Yeah, I'll give it. I know Lynn typically does so, but Lynn was not at our last meeting. Just from the process itself, updating the policy, the collection development policy, as well as the request for reconsideration. Karen's staff really takes it very seriously on how they handle adding, removing, that type of thing. And it's really good to hear their real life examples along the way. And in our work session in October, you're going to hear more of that. But just to cover the notes briefly here, so the working draft of the policy has been updated, revised, taking some words that might have been a gray area and making it more specific and straightforward. Also inserting the First Amendment, making sure that that is a key point in the policy itself. Also discussions on movies, how, you know, basically following the movie rating that's put out there, but then making sure that it's policed appropriately. Request for reconsideration is basically the appeals process of, you know, it maybe they're not going to add it, but they want to bring it back. Discussing how many board members would be on a committee for review, how many staff members, and who are those particular staff members where the request for reconsideration originates from. So more to come on that. We have one more meeting and to put together a PowerPoint on it. But basically, one other thing that we're looking at is what are the community standards out there? And Delano had worked with their arts and culture group. We reached out to, you know, some of the other billboard people, that type of thing. They're really holding their cards as to they know the political climate that's going on, so there's not a lot shared there. You know, more to come on that. Working towards this work session, kind of laying out assignments and getting together a slide deck to talk about specific segments of the policy update, as well as going through the request for reconsideration timeline and the steps needed there. So that's about all I had on it. If there's any questions, you know, certainly feel free.
Mary?
Part of our mission and goals is diversity, equity, and inclusion. Is that part of, will that be spelled out?
It's it's in the strategic plan as far as everybody is represented, you know, and, you know, as far as the consideration of collections development. And there's some key statements in the policy revision.
Okay. Thank you.
George?
Yeah, two questions. So you're writing a draft of a new policy, right?
Mm-hmm.
Will we be able to see that draft?
Oh, it has to be ratified by the board.
Get it prior to us coming to a meeting so we actually have some time to look at it closely.
And, Karen, I think we're getting very close as far as...
That's the point of the October session. Right. There wouldn't be... Our plan from the beginning was the work session is to look at the policy, and then November would be the month that we would vote. Similar to what we did with the library development plan last year, the year before, where we just dig into the details of it, ask questions, and then do that last iteration in November for vote. So when we get the packet together, like, the tricky part is we move the meeting up a week. So that means we have to have stuff ready for mailing next Thursday as the deadline, and then it mails out that week before. So we're doing our best to get stuff for the meeting ahead of time.
One thing I skipped over, George, in the notes is Karen's staff provided a lot of key input for this, but then they went out to the LSTs or further staff, you know, to what are we missing? And so this is where the draft is, you know, kind of near final draft, we're hoping, and getting close to.
I just want to have time for us to get it ahead of time so we can actually
actually
read it. Mm-hmm. Not come that night and, you know.
Right. Nobody's holding the cards.
You'll get it like you get a pack ahead of time, yes.
Even if you get it that night, just say no.
Yeah, right.
I mean, and we'll understand and take it up in the future.
If we have any concerns or thoughts, should we submit that to the committee? Or would you like to just hear them? Well, or how would you? Or wait till that?
I think we're going to have a work session on this in October, right?
Yeah, it will be. I think if all goes well, that's the only topic we'll talk about for an hour in October.
Yeah, that'll be the.
And we'll bring the final draft in November.
So is that the 17th, or did you move that to the 10th?
It moved to the 10th.
Okay. Oh, I'm sorry. I looked at.
Yep. Yeah, so make sure. Believe me, it's like all over the place on calendars right now. So it is the 10th.
So I have one more question.
That's the work session?
That's the work session, October 10th.
Yes.
So we have all these people coming to our meetings. Do they know that we're doing this committee work?
I announced it at the last meeting when they were here that we are in the process.
Yeah, I only bring that up because, I mean, that's hope for them, for both sides to know that we're doing something about it.
Well, and that might be worth talking about. I don't know if it's here or later. I know there were concerns about how the public forum works at the previous meeting that I heard. One thing you should know is typically a work session does not include a public forum. So we wouldn't have a public forum in October. I don't know. The public forum structure as it exists in the bylaws just says we have a public forum. What appears on the agenda was put in place by board action in, I think, September of 2009, and it's been exactly the same since that meeting. It's never changed. So if we want to change something, that would take board action, and that's not something I'm recommending necessarily. I'm just reflecting what I'm hearing.
The only thing, and Karen, this is what we had communicated about, was last time I believe we had a couple people that signed up that are from not within the Great River Regional Library System, you know, within the six counties. And the amount of people that we have signed up, my personal feeling is that we should let them people speak before somebody that comes from the Twin Cities or something like this to speak on subjects like that. You know, and I tried to intervene today that if you've been here every meeting and speak every time, let somebody else speak.
Yeah, but you did say that.
And it doesn't seem to work. So, you know, maybe there's something there we can...
It seems like I would think we could revisit our open forum process and procedure at some point. I don't know when.
We could include it in the October work session if you want to.
And we can do that without... a bylaws?
Well,
or
I guess
I... like, we could just talk about it as a
I'd
subject.
Refer back to this committee on how much time you think we need, if we're going to need...
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know,
I don't know.
I guess if you don't think, if you think you need a fair amount of time, then I think we should just have that one subject.
And I think
I don't mind doing it, but they got to stay on topic, and I don't know how you achieve that.
Okay.
You want to be a wonderful person and be inclusive and hear all of their concerns? Holy shit, it turns into marriage counseling.
Are you talking about the people that speak or about our committee?
Yes.
Well, God knows the things.
Good godly.
Well, I think if we can have open forum in October, I think that
I don't think we want
we would
forum.
Like that would have to be board action.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well,
don't.
That was my question. But just to clarify, it's an open meeting, though.
People
can watch.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yep.
But we're not going to let them interrupt us in what we're actually here to accomplish.
And they've been very respectful.
They
about
have been
time.
All
yeah.
Yeah.
things
yeah.
like that. Yeah.
We're talking about the work session.
Yes.
Right.
We're not going to have public input.
Right, and we're not going to. They can come.
Yeah.
And they can sit there, but we're not going to let it be interruptive, or else we're going to make some kind of move here.
So I that it made me think of another question. So it's a process question. I don't know. So when you redo something like this, it's you call it a policy or whatever you call it, right? Is there an opportunity for the public to look at that policy to get their
comment
input,
review?
Their comments? Is that in the process?
It's posted on the website as soon as our board meeting stuff goes live. So when you get it, it's on the website, and people get notices that it's out there, and you guys get feedback in between that posting and the meeting. I see it come through, so
that's fair.
I know
as long as it's you can they can access it.
And the thing is, it needs to be full transparency. At the end of the day, it's us as board members that have to agree or disagree as to what's in it. So, in a lot of other policies were compared in revising or developing it. But there was a pretty solid policy already in place. It's just the timeline on the request for reconsideration. There's been some changes there.
Okay.
Well, and something I brought up in the committee meeting is that I think it's important that we follow our process that we've had historically of how we change policies, and we don't do this totally different. So this is kind of how we've done it in the past. We don't always have a workshop, so this is an even added component that generally isn't part of policy changes. They usually come through staff and come to us, and we get them in our packets, and we read them. So I think the workshop, we've done that a few times with different topics, so that is an added component. Our public, generally the ones that have been engaged will probably be here. So they'll be viewing it that night or see it that night.
But they can't comment.
No.
But they can comment later after the
fest.
Yeah, like after that meeting, we wouldn't have another meeting till November.
Yeah.
Like there's a whole 3 weeks there for you to get email.
I mean, it's like a county or a township has a public hearing on items, and that's the concept that I'm thinking of here. As long as the public has an opportunity at some point to make comments about what we're doing, I think is important for transparency.
It's no different, George, than taking a plan development of a piece of property to a planning commission and then board.
Yeah.
You know, and if you get denied, you can't take it back for a while, right? Depending on the jurisdiction.
Right.
So it's not all that different.
Okay, thank you.
We don't need to be reactive. We are proactive. We have policies and procedures in place. Right.
It's been a really encouraging process because, like I said, Karen's staff really takes their job very seriously on what they put on the shelf and how they select it. And, you know, these fear-mongering of the ALA is dictating everything. Well, no, it's not that way. It just isn't.
Okay. Anything else? Any other questions for the committee?
No, thank you.
All right. Yeah, it looks like they've done a pretty thorough job. Now we'll go to the Central Minnesota Library Exchange. Anything?
Oh, dear.
It's good news.
Actually, we were supposed to have a meeting last week, but it got moved to tomorrow. So we have a lot of loose ends that will be finished off tomorrow. Melissa, our new interim director, is doing a great job juggling all the issues and concerns. So it's she's doing well up in Cambridge, is where we're still located, and we'll be there for the next year. But we'll have to start thinking about things come March, May, or before that, because Melissa will only be probably staying a year on this project. We still have some financial issues. We're getting our bank things settled. I think Karen's going to be bumped from treasurer tomorrow. That means I don't have to drive to Princeton and Cambridge to sign checks, which doesn't make any sense. But that should be finished off, hopefully, with the election of the new officers tomorrow. We did do a revision of our budget now that we're getting $94,000 additional funding. This funding is to be used to offer to professional development and tuition assistance. That's called the phase one. Phase two of this money is to provide professional development to existing library media specialists and tuition support for candidates seeking school library media licensure. Tomorrow we make a decision on our new web person to help assist us with our new web page. It's not very user-friendly, nothing like what we just saw. So hopefully we can even tap some of the things that they've done here for CMLE. Our VR subscription has been renewed, but we still have issues trying to resolve our headset issues. Thank you, JC, for bringing that to our attention, that there was some breaches. So we're still working on that. The CMLE audit is moving along, but it's been very complicated. They've had many extreme demands. Melissa's been putting up with all the different things they want. Karen has been helping. There's been mistakes on the website of the incorrect dates for some of the meetings, so we had to redo all the minutes and agendas. So that should be done by October, hopefully. We still have open board positions for the academic and the K-12 position. We're hoping to fill those soon, but nobody's coming forth from there. We're looking forward to having a full board soon. And we're also looking to get board liability insurance. We're getting bids on that presently. So with that...
I thought we had that.
No, not for CMLE. So
I thought it was in the budget.
I don't remember that. You were on it much longer than I was. Do you remember any liability insurance? Apparently there isn't any, because Melissa's
maybe
looking to
CMRDC
get bids.
Had an umbrella policy, I'm guessing.
Have your umbrella policy updated, everyone?
Yeah.
Other than that, any questions? Okay, thank you.
All right. Thanks. Unfinished business, anything?
I should have mentioned earlier, but I'll point it out now. In front of you is the advertisement for our Youth Advisory Council.
Yeah.
The posting just went live on our website today. We decided to go with an electronic application, so if you know a place to post it and share it, we would appreciate that.
And how often do they meet?
Ideally, quarterly. Mm-hmm. We have to get applicants first. So.
How many do you need, Karen?
Yeah.
I'm hoping for 12. Like two from each county. That would be really magical.
Is that going to all the branches?
It will. Like, we just
got
it up this afternoon.
Okay.
Yeah, it will be.
Will it be meeting in person or virtual?
Oh, hybrid.
Nice.
Okay. We're going to do hybrid.
Wow.
Good.
One that's because of all the
driving. Right. Otherwise, we wouldn't get anyone outside of St. Cloud. So.
Okay, we'll move down on to number 12.
Jamie, do you want to? You can probably just pop it right there.
This is an action item.
All right. Patron services policy. We've been talking about collection development. Now we're talking about patron services. We have before you a marked up version and a clean copy of what we're looking to change. We're looking to increase our loan period on DVDs from 1 week to 3 weeks.
Hey.
Demand for DVDs, it used to make up 25% of our circulation. It was starting to taper off a little bit pre-COVID, but we know that COVID really changed patron behavior in terms of streaming. And a lot more folks have adopted streaming, which means that our DVD collection isn't as heavily used. Making this change allows us to maximize the investment we've already made in the physical materials. But it just means that people can keep them longer. Likewise, we're looking at increasing item renewals from 2 times to 3 times. Similar philosophy, you still can't renew if somebody else is waiting for the item. So if no one else is waiting for the item, we may as well let folks keep it longer. They will still be charged for anything lost or damaged. And the last piece is eliminating the $10 fee for proctoring exams. That revenue has declined significantly through the years. I do have numbers if you're interested in that. But for the most part, it now involves just a person sitting down and taking an exam. There used to be more onerous demands on staff to sign and mail different things, and it's very easy peasy simple now. And this actually came to us as a recommendation from staff on the front line who don't want to see students penalized for just having to come to the library to take an exam. And that's the quick summary. Questions?
Any questions, anybody?
What's the timeline for those implementation?
We would look for it being active, implemented in January. That gives us time to make the changes on the back end.
Hey, this is an action item, so... We need a motion.
Mr. Chair, I'll move to accept the presentation.
Okay, Al. Second. And Mary will second it. So you heard everything. Any other questions? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? Carried.
Thanks, Jamie. Thank you.
The Executive Director's Annual Evaluation.
Year. I'm going to walk around and hand out the forms. The instructions are on there, so you don't have to remember everything I say, but please get it back to me by October 14th, and I have postage paid envelopes, too, to give you, or if you're an email person, that's great, too, and I will write your name down, and I will email you tomorrow or later this week at the latest, and you can email me that back. But October 14th is the deadline we're going for. I will then compile all the data, and these will go to Karen's direct reports, too, of which there are 10 of them.
Too many.
Yeah, I think it's 10.
And they too will chime in on Karen's performance as the director. We will compile all that data. It will be presented to the personnel committee in its raw form, and then a summary will be presented by the personnel committee to the full board, and Karen will be scored in the areas of strategic planning, organizational communication, community leadership, relationships with the Board of Trustees, management of human resources, and financial management. So when you get this, you'll see those areas, and then on the back, you will see her goals for this year, as well as if you have ideas for goals for Karen for 2024. So I'm going to walk around and do that. So again, tell me if you want paper or if you want to do it over email.
Email.
Paper. Will you write down?
I'll take a copy just so I can read it.
Yes.
Okay. You want the envelope
too? Like
yeah.
I will too.
Well, thank you because I put stamps
like
in all these envelopes.
Maybe it'll just get you
want to go
more
away,
in a timely manner if I take this.
Just see what
you think. She licked all those stamps in case you
use email. Yep.
Paper. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, while he's handing them out, we'll move on to
Tina?
Board open forum. Anybody have anything they want to discuss?
George, I got more stamps. Are you on paper?
Paper.
All right, well, that worked out well. I'm going to get you a stamp.
Anything important about what you did this summer? Any fun things you did this summer?
Randy Wincher would want me to share
for
that.
Serious people.
The Wicked Woods is now open for business up in Royalton.
Yeah.
He and his family are starting a new business, and he asked me to heavily promote it. So I'd be remiss to not mention
that
the Wicked Woods is now open.
Woods.
The big scare is from the big. Let me look. I got it.
Well, is it a brewery or a
no?
No, it's a haunted. It's a haunted corn walk. The little monsters are from 6 to 7, and the big scare is from 8 to 11. Oh. So, if you want more information, I have the poster on my phone.
Oh my god!
The Wicked Woods.
I think it's his wife retired from teaching, and I think they wanted something to do, and they're following kind of like, I don't know how many are familiar with the pumpkin patch up there. That's a big draw, and I think they're kind of spinning off that.
Wow. So, a field trip. Who is this?
Good for them.
Who is it again?
Randy.
Randy. Oh, gosh.
Next meeting.
Very good.
Is the 10th of October.
10th of October.
Does everybody get that down?
Yep.
For us commissioners, that'll be a little challenging because we will miss that Tuesday. Anything else to come before the board? Sir, otherwise I'll entertain a motion for them. Mary?
Yeah.
Second. George. I thank you.